Talking about problem text, and I say that with a preface. They are supposed problem text. We'll have a couple we'll try to look at this afternoon that are fairly complex, and it will require you using your mind and your body. Your mind and your Bible. You can use your body if you want to. If you feel sleepy, stand up, do a jumping jack. Something like that, but your mind and your Bible. And so we'll pray together, and let me get to the right place here. I got busy and didn't even get everything together. Here we go. Let's see where we're going to be at first in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 5. It won't take you long to find that. Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 5. We're going to pray together. What we're doing, we're looking at places in the Bible where agnostics and Bible deniers say that there are problems with the text, or that the text is not pure, or that the Bible is not correct. And we debunk those things, and we'll look at that in the Bible. Problem text number 25 is what we're looking at, first of all, this evening. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible and the opportunity to pray. Thank you for these folks that have come this afternoon on this Mother's Day. Many, many of our folks, Lord, had other obligations, not able to be here, but we're thankful, Lord, for this group that's gathered this afternoon. Pray you'd help us to be a blessing to them from your word. And Lord, for that, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verse 17, and then we're going to compare that with Genesis 5:5. The Bible says this in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 5. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and all the days of that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So here's the objection. They say, if Adam was to die in the day that thou eatest thereof, how did he live the age of 930 years? Well, the answer to that is quite simple, really. The answer to that is that one death that Adam could die, there was more than one death that Adam could die. It was not just a physical death. And so the death that Adam experienced that day was not a physical death, but Adam died spiritually. I'll show you this. Hold your place in Genesis. We're going to be back there a lot this afternoon. Come to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So I made mention of the fact that it was more than just a physical death. It was a spiritual death. And notice this, that what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So it was more than a physical death. It was a spiritual death. Let me show you this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, something that you know very well, and that is that everyone is three parts. We have spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was more than a bodily death. In fact, it was not a bodily death that Adam died that day. It was a spiritual death. Now, look at Romans chapter 5. Because of that, you and I were born in sin. Romans chapter 5. I could just read all of these verses to you. I want to get to something here in just a moment. Every man from Adam to Christ is born with a live body, a live soul, and a dead spirit. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam obviously, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the moment that an individual gets saved, the moment that an individual trusts Christ as their Savior, their spirit comes alive. What a blessing, amen. And and our spirit comes alive. Here's the thing, our body is alive. Our soul is alive. We're dead in our trespass and sin. Our spirit is quickened and made alive in the moment of salvation. And then the Lord asks us to reckon our body dead. You know something? Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The reason folks have so much trouble with their flesh and falling prey to repeated sin and repetitive activities because they will not reckon their body to be dead. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse number 11, it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So our body is not yet redeemed, it is not yet saved. Romans chapter 8 teaches us that. But one of these days it's going to be, praise the Lord for that. But until that time, we are to reckon, which means to count, we are to reckon our body as dead. We should not be living our life after the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. We should be dead to sin, but alive unto God. That's going to require some things on your part, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but verse 31 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Paul didn't mean that he was dying and being resurrected every day. He was talking about the fact that he was dying to self. He was dying to sin every single day. You know what you and I have to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? If we want a walk with Christ, we want a spiritual life with Christ, we want to live in such a way that's pleasing to God, every single day we have to reckon this flesh dead to sin and dead to self and dead to ungodliness and dead to unrighteousness so that we can live unto God. So that's one. I want to give you another answer as well. Come to 2 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to go back to Genesis 5. 2 Peter chapter 3, yesterday after street ministry, Devin and I and Xavier, my wife, several of us, Jonathan, we were standing around talking, and we got to talking about this verse of Scripture, and Devin made a comment, having no idea I was preaching on this afternoon. But look what the Bible says in Genesis, in 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 3. You know the verse well, verse number 8. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So Devin had this thought, Adam surely died before a day on the Lord's calendar expired. Look back at the text. Look at Adam. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Now, the Bible told us, our text told us in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 17, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, 2 Peter tells us that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And so the Bible tells us that that Adam died when he was 900, well, we'll read it here in chapter 5, verse number 5. Now, all the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So 930 years is less than a day with the Lord, if a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so all the days, and here's the thing, the longest recorded life that we have in the Bible is Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. Because of Adam's sin, he died in that day. No one ever reached the age of 1,000 years old. They all died prior to that. I personally believe if Adam had not sinned, or had sin had not entered into the world, that man would have lived eternally or forever. And so that sin brought about death, not just to Adam, but to all men in that day. Now, come to Genesis chapter 6. Problem text 26. Adam did die that day. He died spiritually, and he died before the day of the Lord was up. Genesis chapter 6, Problem text 26. Look at this. Verse 16. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So here's the objection. The problem here has to do with that window. If there's only one window in the top of the ark, and that window is left open during that deluge, during that flood, it had to be open, there had to be some way for air to get in, but if that window was left open and it's on the top of that ark in a flood, well, the boat's going to fill with water. And so the answer to that is this. The window is never said to be on the top side of the ark. Nor even is it said to be on the roof. Amen. In fact, we're told that it is finished above. In a cubit shalt thou finish it. So when we observe further, or we do more study about the ark, we know that the ark had some type of covering. We didn't make that up. The Bible tells us that. Look at Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, look at verse 13. The Bible said, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from off the earth. Now look at this. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And so then the window, a cubit by a cubit and a half, 18 to 22 inches, could have been high on one side or on the sides of the ark even, half the length of it or around the entire ark. The Bible really doesn't say. We know for two reasons it wasn't on the top of the ark. First of all, if it was, it would have been opened and the boat would have filled with water. Second of all, Genesis chapter 8 clearly tells us that the ark had a covering over the top of it. And so there was a window high up on the side of the ark. Now, come to Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 19, problem text 27. Genesis chapter 6, we'll look at two verses here, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. So here's the objection by the unbelievers. It is not possible that two of every species of animal could have gotten into a boat as small as Noah's boat. For that would have demanded housing for literally millions of animals. So the answer for that is there are very few folks that make those kind of objections or those kind of statements concerning the truth of the Bible that actually know several things. First of all, I don't think they realize how large the ark is. In cubits, it's 300 cubits long, 500 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. And as I've already mentioned, a cubit is a measurement from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger, typically 18 inches, commonly 18 inches. Then this ark is in feet. It's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. That is 1.5 football fields long by 1/2 a football field wide. Now, how many species of animals were there in Noah's ark? Well, to begin with, it didn't say two of every species. It says two of every sort. So just to give you an example of that, that's two dogs, okay? Not two Cocker Spaniels and two Boxers and two Bulldogs and two Chihuahuas. No, two dogs, period. What sort, amen? So I think these are called taxonomists. They're people who estimate different things. They estimated that there are 3,500 mammals, 8,600 birds, 5,500 reptiles and amphibians, 25,000 worms, a total of 35,000 animals that Noah would have needed to haul in the ark. So, no fish, obviously. They can live in water, surprisingly. So how could Noah have possibly gathered all of these animals? Well, Noah didn't do that. God did. The Lord did. And so where would Noah have fit them all in the ark? Well, the ark is 450 feet long, 75 feet high, 40 or wide, 75 feet high, three levels or three floors. So a total volume of 1.5 million cubic feet. So we think about this boat, we think about the size of this thing, that is equivalent to 522 railroad stock cars. Now, my wife and I, several years ago, we had the opportunity to go visit the replica of the Ark in Kentucky. And I can't remember how many it was, but they had a picture on one of the walls that showed how many 53-foot tractor and trailers would fit inside of that Ark. It was amazing how many would fit in that. And so there was actually more, way more than enough room on that Ark for the animals that Noah was required to take. In fact, the taxonomist lists that it would only take 146 train cars to hold all of those creatures, those 35,000 creatures. So that leaves a good deal, in fact, quite a bit, of the ark to supply all the food for a year and all of that stuff to be stored on the boat as well. So how could all the animals today have come from that select few in the ark? Well, the same way that we have all of the nationalities and the races of this world that came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's three sons. God has a way of taking care of all of that. Amen. Now, let's look at this. Come to Genesis chapter 36, and we'll look at problem text 28. So there's no problem with the Bible. The problem's always with people, and their willingness to understand, or their lack of understanding. Well, there's actually a lot of people that just hate God and hate the Bible and try to do everything to disprove it. Now, look what the Bible says here in Genesis 36. We're going to look at two verses, both in this chapter. Look at verse number 20 first. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lothan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah. Now, compare that to verse 2 in the same chapter. That's verse 20. Look at verse 2. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and Aholibah, the daughter of Ani, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite. And so, here's objection number one. How did Ani be a son? We see that in verse number 20. And Ani is a daughter in verse number 2. Did you see that? These are, verse 20, these are the sons of Seir. And then he lists them, and Ani is one of them. And then in verse number 2, it says Esau took wives of the daughters of Canaan, Adah, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, Aholibah, the daughter of Ani, the daughter of Zibeon. So the answer is this. The answer to this question is the same as we had earlier. And I think it was problem text number 11. And that is that Ani is obviously a name for both men and women. There are several names that fit that bill. And so there's several ways we know this in this chapter. This person, Ani, in each passage are not the same person. Ani is both a man's name and a woman's name. And the way we know that these are different people is, first of all, in verse number 2, look what it says, Ani, the daughter of Zibeon. So she has a father named Zibeon, while in verse number 20, Ani has a brother named Zibeon. You see that? These are the sons of Seir the Horite who inhabited the land. And then it lists the siblings, Lothan, Shobal, Zibeon, and Ani. So one of them has a daughter. She has a father named Zibeon. And Ani, the son or a man, he has a brother named Zibeon. They're obviously not the same person. So here's the second objection in this passage that people give. And that is, if they were the same person, and it's very clear that they're not, we've already established that from the text, how can Zibeon be a Hivite and a Horite at the same time? Did you see that? The sons of Seir are the Horite. And then we see at the end of verse number 2, Ani, the daughter of Zibeon, the Hivite. And so there's no way that they can be both. Well, the answer to that is those names, Hivite, speaks of your ancestry and lineage, while the other names, Horite, speaks of your geographical location. So the Hivites were one particular branch of the Hittites. Just like Mount Hor is the same as Mount Seir in the Bible. When you read that, there's just a little nugget you can hang on to. Those are Hivite nations who dwelt around Mount Hor called Horites in Genesis chapter 14. Now, here's a good example of that. I'll use TJ for an example. He is an American, as far as I know. He's an American. When he gets his support raise, he's going to move to Italy. He's going to be living in Italy as a missionary. And so he's an American living in Italy. And so that's the same with this Hivite and Horite. One is the ancestry and lineage, and the other speaks of a geographical location. So again, there's nothing wrong with the Bible. Come to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I'm looking for one, and this is not going to be it. Probably the next one, and then we'll end with that. This one right here will be a quick one. Problem text 29. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 4. And Abel, and also I need to get a second place because I need to look at these together. Genesis 4 and 2 Chronicles 19. Genesis 4 and 2 Chronicles 19. Let me find that myself. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, we'll read Genesis 4 first. Now, Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says this, "And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Now, let's compare that with 2 Chronicles chapter 19. So, in our Genesis passage, God had respect unto Abel, and he had not respect unto the offering of Cain. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 19, verse number 7. "Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God." Now notice the phrase, "nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." So here is the objection by some. If 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse number 7, if it forbids any respect of persons, why are we told that God respected Abel? Well, the answer here in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, the context is instructing judges on how to deal with court cases unbiasedly, as God does according to facts, and so you're not to be biased in that. And God did just that in Genesis chapter 4, for he evaluated the facts of Cain and of Abel by their obedience and disobedience to God's commands. So here's what you have to understand. Respect of persons is not the same thing as rewarding obedience. And so God rewarded Abel's obedience. He did not reward Cain's disobedience. God will never reward disobedience. And so there's no conflict in the passage. In fact, if God had accepted Cain's offering, he would have sinned against his own instructions to judges, amen. And for this would have amounted to bribery to do wrong. And I promise you, God's never going to be bribed to do wrong. Now, I want to do one more. It's about 10 till 3. And this one is going to require you to put your thinking cap on. And I know it's after lunch and all of that kind of stuff. And it's going to be take a couple of minutes. And I'm going to need you to read your Bible and follow along. I really wish I had a way to chart them in a list so you could see them. And this is pretty important. I want you to find three places, Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, which are right there together. That's no big deal. And at the same time, I want you to find Acts chapter 7. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to read a passage in Genesis chapter 11. We're going to flip over to Acts chapter 7. And then we're going to come back to Genesis chapter 12. And I want you to see something I think will help you. If you have a serious desire to study the Bible, learn things from the Bible, something that will really help you with that here in this passage. Now look at Genesis chapter 11. Look at verse number 26. And Terah, this is speaking of Abraham's father. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now skip down to verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So here's the two things I want you to remember about that verse. When Terah started bearing children, well, he didn't, but he propagated it. He didn't actually have children. How did I get off on that? He's 70 years old when his first child was born, and he lived to be 205 years old. That's what I want you to pay attention to. Now, come to Acts chapter 7. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 7. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, now notice this phrase, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein he now dwell. So here's the two things I want you to notice so far, and then we're going to go to chapter 12 of Genesis. When Terah, Abram's father, started having children, he was 70 years old. He died at 205 years old. Abraham did not leave the land of Chaldeans until his father was dead. Now, look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So here's the objection. If Terah, Abraham's father, was 70 years old when Abraham was born in Genesis 11:26, and Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 4, and he didn't do that until after his father died. That's what we read in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 4. Then Terah would have been no more than 145 years old when he died. And the Bible tells us that he was 205 years old when he died. So how do you resolve that? We have, plainly, the Bible says that Terah bore children or begat Abram, Nahor, Haran. And he did that at 70 years old. He died at 205 years old. Abraham did not leave the Chaldeans until his father was dead. And yet Abraham departed from there, according to Genesis chapter 12, when he was 75 years old. I'm not great at math, but 70 and 75 is 145, not 205. So is the Bible wrong? No. You got to figure out what's going on. And here's what's going on. Abraham, Nahor, and Haran are obviously not triplets. There's three sons. The statement given in Genesis 11:26 must mean that Terah was 70 years old when one of those boys were born. To assume that Abraham was the firstborn is an incorrect assumption. Oftentimes, just like the Bible does in other places, names of children are not always in chronological order. In fact, more times than not, they're in order by prominence. Abraham was obviously the most prominent of the children. And even though he is listed first in the order, he was not the firstborn of the sons. So don't go messing with my Bible. Just do a little more studying, amen. Now let me show you. I would make that statement if I couldn't prove it from the Bible. And so let me show you that. Now it is very likely, and by the way, I'm going to show you another example of that in just a moment, so you see that this isn't the only time that this happens in the Scripture, and we're going to use Noah's sons, and it's a little easier to see among Noah's sons, but I wanted to show you this with Abraham's children, with Terah's children, including Abraham. It is likely that Haran, although he is mentioned last in the order in Genesis 11:26, it is more than likely that he is the oldest son. And we can safely assume that because his daughter, Haran's daughter, is old enough for Nahor, who is also their brother, to marry. Look at it. Look at Genesis chapter 11. Look at verse 29. Now, let me read all of it because you can see it better. Look at Genesis chapter 11. I read verse 26 just a moment ago. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. He's the first one that is mentioned in that verse who had children of those three sons. Then it says this, and Haran died. So there's three sons. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity. So Haran died before his father did. And there are the Chaldees. And look at verse 29. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah. Now, later the Bible says that Abraham made mention of Sarah being his sister. She was his sister. They had the same father, but a different mother. But what we see here in this verse of Scripture is that, so Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Malkah, now look who she is. She's his niece, the daughter of Haran, the father of Malkah, and the father of Issachar. And so Haran was old enough to have a daughter that Nahor could marry. And so it is pretty clear from Scripture that Haran was the oldest of these three sons. It's likely that Nahor was the middle son and Abraham was even the youngest son. But he was the son of promise. In fact, the next 12 chapters of the book of Genesis is about Abraham. Now, I want to show you this again in the Bible. And I want you to look at some places all right here together. Look at Genesis chapter 5. I want to show you this truth again in Scripture. And we'll use Noah's sons. It's important to know if you're going to date Bible events and use people's ages and name, which is common, and that's a good practice to do, just be careful. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 5. Look at verse 32. The Bible says this, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now look at chapter 6, just right there at it. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now look at Genesis chapter 10. Look at Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So there's three places in the Bible that gives Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem is mentioned first in the order every time. However, that is not their birth order. In fact, the Bible tells us that Ham is the youngest son. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. You say, preacher, so what? I'll tell you, so what? The Bible is correct. And when people start making assumptions and accusations, so the Bible lists them as Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is not the oldest. Ham is the youngest. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 29. I hate to read this to you, but it's Bible. Genesis 9. Genesis 9, verse 22. I'm about done. As soon as I finish this section, we're going. Genesis 9, verse 22. The Bible says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his, what's it say? Younger son had done unto him. So three times we have the genealogy of Noah as Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it's very clear from this passage in Genesis chapter 9 that Ham is the younger son. Now, look, let me show you this again. Look at chapter 10. The Bible also tells us that Japheth is the eldest son, not Shem. Look at Genesis chapter 10. Look at verse 21. In Genesis 10 and verse number 21, the Bible says, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. So the chronological order of Noah's children would be Japheth, Shem, and Ham, instead of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So back to Abraham. Abraham is not the eldest son. Most likely Haran is. Abraham is not the middle son. Nahor is. Abraham was born when Terah was 130 years old. And when Terah died 75 years later, Abraham left Haran at the age of 75 to go to Canaan. And so why does Genesis make mention of Abraham first when he's not the firstborn? Because of the premium place that Abraham plays in history. And so sometimes the Bible places children in order of their prominence and not in their birth order. Amen. Father, thank you for the Bible, an opportunity to have some fun, do some Bible study, look at some truths from your word. What a blessing. Thank you so much for that. Please help our church and our people. We love you. We thank you for loving us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you so much for being with us on Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day. Appreciate you being with us. Church service this evening. Don't forget our church service Wednesday night. Looking forward to that Wednesday evening at 7:30. Hope you'll be back and be with us in church. Don't forget all of the events, activities, camp meeting, rally services, vacation Bible school. I mean, you name it, the next couple of months is just going to be jam-packed.